Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Desire, belonging, anger, fury, disgust, beauty. These are a few words to describe the majestic creature known as the professional wrestling fan. Ever wonder what they're truly thinking? What would they say? What would they do? Don't fret. The time has come. My name is Barbara Boulders, and this is Memoirs of a Mark.
Joining us today on the Kick Rocks podcast, we got the man eating pulled up. Listen, I told you I want people to pull up. They got opinions on this professional wrestling. You see what I'm saying? I'm calling this Memoirs of a Mark because I want my marks and my friends and my people and my brothers to give me their thought processes on what they be watching and their memories and the memorifying things, and I want them to do it. And David Perry has pulled up, and he got it right now. But first and foremost, David Perry, did you take time to acknowledge your tribal chief?
I acknowledge my tribal chief when I wake up and when I go to sleep. That's my goal. That's my goal. I don't know. I know John Cena. I know. Hey, John Cena proved why he your go last night. I'm just saying. Oh my God, why they doing theory like that? I'm sorry. I mean, that's another topic for another day.
So wait, hold on. So you say we gonna just go off the rails early then, you, because I had something planned, but we gonna start off crazy. So you say Roman Reigns is the greatest of all time?
I mean, I don't have to say it. It's who he is. I don't tell lies, and I just wouldn't say it. It is who he is. There's a reason he has had the title for almost 1,000 days. 1,000 days? A thousand days? I'm just asking a question. Like, who else can do that?
And in this era, to answer your question, in this era, as far as like when, because the Bruno Sammartino thing, I'm with all due respect, I just don't count it, because number one, he would just be in New York. You know what I mean? And like, and it's no shade. You know, I'm just saying to hold the title in the modern day era with all the traveling, going to Saudi. I don't give a damn about private jet or not. People don't understand. Just because you in a private jet don't mean you ain't got to travel a long distance. Like, that's a pain in the ass, man. So like, all these cities, all these places, and also like, but holding the title though, David, and it being like viable though. You know what I mean? Not just you holding it because the company wants you to hold it. Actually, increasing revenue.
Nobody want to lose the title. Nobody wants to lose a title. Dude got 6 main events.
Crazy,
dude out
bro.
Here, he's out here and got these titles. Took both of them. Took one from Brock Lesnar. Sorry, Bray Wyatt. He killed the Fiend. He killed the Fiend. Nah, Randy Orton didn't kill the Fiend. He killed the Fiend. He said, you ain't a monster in a mask. Only when I ain't around. You hear me? That's what he told him. And what happened? The Fiend died. I don't know what happened. Now they got Bray Wyatt running around, a schizophrenic, multiple personality. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. But that's what Roman Reigns do to you, though. That's what happened.
He said Roman gives you a condition, you know?
Hey, mental illness. Look at Jay Uso. That man be having moments. He just stops in the middle and starts rubbing in his head. He be having flashbacks of ass whoopings from past time.
Oh my God. Listen, we're gonna come back to the Chief. I swear. That's hilarious, though. That's hilarious. Hold on. Because if I start going on Roman, we're gonna take the whole show. No, with yes, yeah, that's what I call him. You know what I mean? Ro-Ro is what they call him. Listen. So we got did you watch AEW? Did you watch AEW?
Man, thank you, man. I just got off the phone with my brother, dude. We were talking about the Iron Man match. And
what's your thoughts on that though?
It's hard not to say It's top three, and I don't know if it's number three. That's just my opinion.
So yeah, because there's a sentiment out there. You've seen the original Iron Man match, and this against it's worth two all time greats, and so people, what they tend to do is they see something new and they say, well, this is the best one, but they made a strong case on Sunday, bro, that could be one of, if not the greatest Iron Man matchup. They made a strong case.
But it's tough because the problem was this, is that the reason I would go with Brett Sean is simply because there wasn't the lull in the beginning. They did a phenomenal job, but when Brett and Sean did it, it's just, dude, how they did it. And in the sequence of how they did it, and it was like you watched the match for 5 minutes, all of a sudden Gorilla Monsoon comes out and says that he needs to start it over, and they had to finish it.
Bro, you cutting the promo. Like, seriously, fam, like, that's exactly what I said. So anybody out there that's saying that's the best, guys, you're being hyperbolic, because that, you got to take into account the first half hour.
It's at least top five. I would say it's at least one of the three best Iron Man matches. That is better than Rock Triple H. There's a lot of things to go along with it, but, and that's a lot to do with Bryan Danielson. But MJF, he did his thing, but the issue with MJF, and not just the match, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut a promo on MJF because he's amazing, but this is the issue, and I'm sorry, Max. I know how great he is, and you are, Max. So it's just difficult when you see all these extremes that he goes to that he doesn't have to, because he's a phenomenal wrestler. Mm. Nobody looks like that dude is ripped. Him and Cody Rhodes, I don't know what they eating, but him and Cody Rhodes. And his look, his style, the way he can talk, and the promo he cut after the match, it's true. But here's the deal. Why do you always have to be so extreme? Why are you throwing tequila in the kid's face? I have three kids, man. And me and him, we would have had an issue. 100%. That just is what it is. That, I mean, bro, I got kicked out of that damn arena right then and there. You ain't throwing tequila on my child. But it is what it is, man. You got to stop that. But other than that, he's phenomenal. But it's just those little intricacies that separate Roman Reigns from him.
Dog, listen. It's so crazy. Man, listen. Everything you said, you're right about, first and foremost. And this is not about people being sensitive. Listen, my problem with MJF is he thinks he's Piper. He's not Piper. I'm just going to put it like this. And I'm not even trying to throw shade while I say he's not Piper. The reason why he's not Piper is because in this era, you can't be Piper. You can't, listen, you can't be Piper in this era. He's not Piper, number one, but number two, you can't be Piper. And that's how I know, as much as MJF is as great as he is, that's how I know he watches too much old tape. Because when you watch enough old tape, you start to subconsciously or consciously mimic the person that you like. So he's trying to do all this Piper stuff. This is something Piper would do. And in this era, my biggest question is to you, David, if he goes to the E, if he ever goes to the E, he's only a baby. If he goes to the E, what's going to happen? Because he ain't going to be able to do that. Does MJF's character die? Because he can't do that at the E.
I was ready for that question too. And here's what it is. It's Tony Khan has to rein him in. I know the E will rein him in. It ain't about the E, it's about him. And gosh, Tony needs to rein him in, because the E will rein him in, or he won't be there. He'll be in AEW, no offense. Look, ask Cody Rhodes. All you gotta do is ask Cody Rhodes what he had to do. He built the damn company. Mm. And he went back home. Home. I'm sorry, I love AEW too. Marks, he went back home. He was born in WWE. Realize that. And they should have kept his ass. Because they'd have kept his ass, they wouldn't have dropped under a million. I watch AEW on the rig, and it's a phenomenal show. But the problem is storytelling. And I love wrestling. I do. I love it. But you gotta make me care. I'm not out here watching matches to have a match, because I don't want to watch a match to have a match. I want to care. Watching it because I care. I love, look, back to Roman Reigns. I love that man. I love that dude before. I loved him before Suffer Sucker Task, when he came in the Survivor Series in 2012.
You're one of the only people that can say that, though. A lot of people trying to pretend like they are you, David. A lot of people trying to pretend like they you, but there's only a select few people that got the guts to admit that, because I'm one of them. I'm going to keep it real. A lot of people won't keep it real. I thought he had it, but I didn't know how he was going to get it. So I can't sit here and pretend. I'm not going to pretend like I thought he could be this dude, because there's no way I did.
30-second sidetrack. We had this fantasy wrestling, and this is right before the Shield broke up. And then I drafted him. I drafted Roman Reigns with my number one pick. Seth with my two, and John with my third. Smashed their ass. And that just is what it is. But back to AEW and MJF. He is one of the top five wrestlers in the business today. 100%. But his issue is that he ain't going to be able to be in front of the camera until he cleans his act up. And that's just 100% is what it is. You can't be out here saying the F-bomb, throwing tequila on kids. You just have to clean it up a little bit. It isn't hard. But just we're in 2023, man. We can't do that anymore.
You just can't. Listen, it's not me being sensitive. You and I know enough to know we've been through the Attitude Era. We've seen different types of wrestling, different type of promotions. You and I are old enough to remember how things were. And I do believe there's a way in this era to be a heel and be effective without doing the low-hanging fruit, just like Ricky Stark said in the press conference in the post show.
Phenomenal interview, by the way.
Absolutely sensational. And
hey, we both light skin too.
Yeah, he's
love
just,
that man.
Yo, yeah, I can't even take you seriously because I don't know if it's team light skin or you putting them over. I don't know what it is, man.
I'm putting them over. It's both. You hear me? Well, hey, listen, I love Pat Mahomes. He light skin too. Blank, gotta put them over. You go, he's a guy.
You know what? Nothing has made dark skinned black people more angry than having to concede that Patrick Mahomes might be the greatest quarterback to ever live. We so mad. I do put it like this, for all the people out there that were saying that Roman wasn't a proper heel, and you seen what happened when he turned on Sammy, how the entire arena shifted and turned on him. He is a proper heel. It's not his fault that people like him as a bad guy. Oh, heels are not supposed to be liked. I disagree. I like Jafar in Aladdin. You know what I mean? He's a heel.
Hey, man, that man had tears coming from my eyes, but okay, I love him. I'm like, why don't do him like that?
But so I think you can get that emotion out of the modern day era as a heel if you are clever. If you're clever.
You have to be clever. Because if you're not clever, then take the shadow down. If you're not clever, then all you are is simple. All you are is the next cookie cutter heel. And that's what's missing in the business. You got to have the people. Hey, you sure we want to acknowledge Roman? But I mean, I love, like I told you, I just told you why I love him. But you got a lot of people out here saying the whole city of Montreal, F you, Roman. He didn't use it. He didn't bust them open. He didn't do anything extreme like they do everywhere else. It's cinema.
Proper story. Right. It was
hair.
It was art. It was art form. You're right. It was craft. He literally got the entire city of Montreal saying "F you, Roman" with storyline and acting ability.
Hey man, he had our guy Cody Rhodes out there ready to have an aneurysm in the middle of there and talking about Bibby. I was like, "Oh, Roman,
the impression was fire, bro."
He said, "You are it." I was like, "Roman,"
you said you couldn't buy it, you couldn't sell it because you are it, Bibby. I said, "Yo, Roro."
Oh. Boy, that's why he's different, bro. And to come from where he was with John Cena, ran him down to where
bro,
he ran
that's what
John
I was
Cena
saying.
Down. From he that, had from... John Cena ready to fight him in the middle of that ring when he talked about Nikki Bella. You can't do that. You can't say nothing about Roman Reigns. Like that man's a family man doing everything he needs to do. He's phenomenal.
So speaking of Revolution though,
that Texas death match.
Yeah, what was your match of the night? Let's just go there. Let's say what was your match of the night. If it wasn't the Iron Man match, what was the match that you felt was their best match? Because I personally, on real, talking about the card, I think they made a lot of the right decisions, like winner and loser wise. I think the card was solid. I think it was one of the best paced shows Tony's ever put together. But what was your match though that stuck out to you or that you thought was the best match of the night?
Man. I think the best net match of the night was the Texas Death Match. My favorite match of the night was the Trios match.
Yeah, it was my favorite match of the night.
Because Kenny Omega and the Bucks, they just do their thing. And I'm glad that they dropped the titles to give Malachi Black
the right thing to
chance
do.
To get over, man. The biggest thing I have with them is they pushed the wrong talent in AEW. I mean, I wish it would be a little darker, the talent they push, but that's neither here nor there. I don't understand why Jade Cargill wasn't on the pay-per-view. I was hot when I found out Jade Cargill
she's
wasn't
one of the only, like, she's one of the only champions.
First off, look. I told my brother, I don't understand why they didn't have her go undefeated, drop the title, and then put the big title on her. And it's because she looks like $1 million, and she would get them over. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, they're out here, and I'm glad Jamie Hayter got the title, but they have Jade Cargill, Diamond in the Rough. They better push her to the moon before they let the E get their hands on her, and then we get WrestleMania 40, Bianca Belair versus Jade Cargill. The world would explode.
Go.
So what they need to do is they need to push her. I don't care if she needs to drop her belt, lose the belt. She needs to be the face of that company. That would get them where they need to go. Her and MJF.
Yeah,
but they just need to go and pull the trigger, man.
I don't think you're wrong. Like, me personally, I think Jade needs to work on her technical ability a little bit more. But that doesn't mean she shouldn't be a champion. It doesn't mean she's not the most put together female superstar that they have. That doesn't mean that. And that's not her fault that she doesn't have viable dance partners. That's not her fault either. Because you're only as good as your dance partner.
Her and Britt never touched.
They never did. And that's never her best. Touched. That's her best dance partner. That's her best dance partner.
Now you brought Saray in there. What I don't understand is why they turned Ruby Soho. That made absolutely no sense on at the pay-per-view. Made no sense. It's just doing shit. Just do shit. I hate that. Like that's my main biggest gripe. They need better writers or something, because it seems like all they want to do is put the best things against the best things, and after a while, that shit gets old.
It does. It does, because you need at the end of the day, when some people don't realize why they're invested, and it's always just because of storyline. You're invested because you care if that person wins or loses. Seeing when you saw, like I said, when it was Undertaker, Brock, or it was Undertaker versus anybody, the story was the streak. That was the story. The story was the streak. So you could throw a dope legend against Undertaker and you're good. But some things you need to build organically, though. Some things you need to give rhyme or reason or chapter and verse. Cena in theory is going to be built for these next few weeks because it's the OG that sees a lot of him, yada, yada, yada. And then the young buck that needs to be taken down a peg. And they're going to lay that out. And they're going to make you want, Cena to win or to see the young buck rise up. Because guys, that's why you care. You don't care because they're megastars. If The Rock came back like he should have for 39, you care because it's the real tribal chief versus the who's the tribal chief? Who? And that's the story. But that's the storyline.
You know what it is.
Exactly.
You're absolutely 1,000 million, trillion, billion, quadrillion percent correct. You're just cooking right now. Man, next time I'm going to give you the oil. That way you can deep fry that promo you just cut. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you just cut a hell of a promo. Let them know. You're right, man. And if they just could add what we're talking about, like if they would have, I think that Cody was part of that because the storylines were better before he left. And then after he left, it's just like, okay, well, we'll do whatever we want to do. There's nothing to do. And please bring back Punk. Please bring back Punk. Just bring him back. I just want him to come back because there's unfinished business. And is he washed up? Yes. I totally 1,000 million percent agree with you, Evan. But it's eyes on the product, and he can still cut a promo.
I agree with that.
We can move around that. And honestly, the way he's over, like they say, man, he's over to the point to where all he needs to do is throw punches and hit his finisher. But the problem in AEW, nobody hits their finisher. I mean, it's five finishers. That's two problems we're talking about. I don't understand what the finisher is these days. Everybody kicks out of the finisher. Everybody, you can't listen.
That's. I'm so glad you said that. And that goes for any company, by the way.
Any company. Hey, Evan, but they're going to hit that roll up with that schoolboy or that small package. And you know what I'm saying?
Finishers matter. When I finish you in Mortal Kombat, you are dead.
Dang. Finish him. Come on, man.
It's over.
Man,
what I'm saying is, guys, finishers have to matter.
Good Lord, have mercy.
They got to, man. They got to. There's a reason. There's a reason. Is their signature? They call it a signature move now. What is the signature move? I know the right bottom was a weak as hell move, but it finished the job.
Do you remember? Do you remember when Shawn Michaels kicked out of the Tombstone?
Boy,
you could not process the information. You were like, you're like, what just happened?
Bruh, my heart stopped when he hit that. Then, bro, I'm like, oh my God. Cinema.
I said he kicked out of the Tombstone pile driver.
Mr. WrestleMania. What? Just saying, man.
That's why finishers matter. That's why finishers matter. Because your disbelief and my disbelief, that's why a finisher matters. Because you knew it was it. You knew it.
It was over. It was over. Man, when Jake the Snake hit that DDT.
Over.
Turn off the lights.
Over.
Turn them off.
I don't care if he did it in the beginning of the match.
I don't care. It was a ref. Back in the day, it's just different. Even a leg drop, even Hogan's leg drop, man. Even still, we thought it was what it was. Now everybody does. But they see, you know what the real issue is, Evan? The real issue is everybody uses the same damn moves. Everybody got the same damn finishes. Like 10 people use the spear. How do 10 people use the spear? It makes no sense. Why can't anybody own the individuality of a finisher actually in the match? All right, let me hit my finisher. Okay, I'm gonna kick out. You hit your finisher. Okay, I'm gonna kick out. Like, no. Just be a man and lose to a finisher. That's what builds you. And that's what makes us care, man. I'm sure everybody wants to see a 5-star match. No, I want to care.
Yes.
I want to care. Yes. I want to think this match is about to be over. I want to see Sami Zayn get his ass whooped.
Straight up.
I want my heart to break. I want to be like, man, because, like, again, me, even the biggest Roman Reigns fans want to lose, but it's like, man, just end the match, Roman. Quit doing it to him like that. But nowadays, everybody has to get their shit in. Everybody. I just don't understand why. I thought it was a wrestling match. Supposed to be like a fight. I mean, come on.
You can't get everything in the fight.
It's a great product. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, Chad Gable and how he took the Crossroads in a match.
Bruh! No one has taken a greater Crossroads in their life than Chad Gable.
And did he kick out? No, he didn't kick out. I think he should have kicked.
That's one thing I love about this. And that's one thing I love about, I'm telling you, I swear to you, I like when he hit that Crossroads, I said, it's a wrap.
It was over.
And it was a wrap.
Beautiful.
I hate sounding like that old man, but I remember back in the day, you got hit with a low blow. It was always over.
Everybody kicks out off getting hit in the face with a belt, bro. And
impossible.
Then it's like,
impossible.
And then we don't have no blood. You see, this is what pisses me off about WWE. Why are you going to hit somebody in the face with a belt, but there's no color? If you're going to do it, do it. Like, then why are you even doing it? You don't hit nobody in the head with a chair anymore, then don't do it.
Yo, this is a proper conversation. This is a proper conversation we have. And there's two dudes going off the rails about 15 different things, you know, but I agree with everything you're saying. That's one of those things. Because I said it before and I'll say it again. AEW has too much blood. WWE don't have enough blood.
Hey, if it was stressful, Cody had that little when Cody had that little trickle right here, I'm like, oh my God.
We just gotta split the difference. If we split the difference, we're good. Take a little bit of that blood away from AEW, put the little blood over there with WWE, and we be in a good blood spot.
I'm like, man, it was like, why we got Mox out here stabbing people? In live television. I'm like, good God almighty. I'm like, this is a little too much. I did not know Abdullah the Butcher came back and debuted. Like, come on, bro. Like, bro, he had blood everywhere. Oh my gosh. It was ridiculous. I thought it was a murder scene.
Bro.
Man, me and him would have had a fight in the backstage after that.
I'm like, yo, bro, chill, bro.
You, bro, what we doing? And then, like, it was a great match, and it was the best match of the night, but it was some shit in that match that made absolutely no sense. Why are you going to put barbed wire on top of you and do a moonsault? I'm like, dude, what are you doing? So you must have cut the barbs off of that or something. I don't know.
So confusing.
Doing.
I go, what? I thought if he would have did, like, a coffin drop like Darby, I'm like, that makes more sense.
Yeah, and then again, like you said, not to be on going off on a tangent, but it's like you got all this blood, but blood doesn't come out in the right spot. Like, right. this should have been a bloody mess when he did that move. So there wasn't no blood at all. Right. When he hit him in the back with that chair with wrapped in barbed wire, it took like 15 minutes for him to start to have blood on the back. And it's like, come on now. It was a great pay-per-view. I'm not saying
I thought it was solid, yeah, for real.
It was like I think last year's Revolution was better than
they had a great card. They did. I was happy with the, like I said, I was happy with the pacing. I was happy with the
I got home at a decent time.
Yeah, like, I was happy I didn't go to bed at 6 o'clock, bro, in the morning.
Bro, it was phenomenal, bro.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Ricky starting the show with Chris like that.
You think he's gonna get it at Double or Nothing? I wouldn't do it at Double or Nothing. I know what he said on a podcast, but here's the thing. I want him to wait. Like, if I'm Tony,
right,
there's a couple things that need to happen.
Right.
He can't jump ahead of Adam Cole. I love Ricky, but he already had to see. I don't understand. Like for the life of me, I don't understand why he won two things to get a title shot at MJF, but he can only use one shot. It was this versus that. He won a Dynamite Diamond Ring, and then he won a match to beat him. Shouldn't he have another match? But 100%. They said no. So, and you know how they do it. It's like, I'm not trying. The reason I say I want him to have a match with MJF is because I know he's not going to win it this time around. And if they do it at Double or Nothing, is how far back does he fall? So let's just wait, probably. I'd wait until All Out? I'll wait till All Out to do it. But if I'm Tony and I can get Punk back, I'm doing Punk MJF at Double or Nothing. Or depending on when Adam Cole comes back, I build up Adam Cole versus MJF, and then everybody, the whole world would explode. If they book Adam Cole right, I just need him to have that swag back because he cut that promo and disappeared.
Yeah, you know, those are the few things I'm worried about. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and health-wise, I hope he's okay.
I just hope he's okay. I just don't know why they had him cut that promo if we got to wait another couple months. Baby, hey, come on.
Yeah, that was ridiculous to me. So, yeah, he's instantly in the title picture just for different reasons. If Punk comes back, he can upset the apple cart, which he's earned the right to do. I would do the same thing you're saying. I would hold off Ricky because I don't want to see Ricky lose another title match. The next time I see Ricky in a title match, I want him to win.
I'm not a booker, but I think like a booker. And I think I would have switched the two results. I would have had Mox beat Hangman, and I would have had Brian Danielson beat MJF and have him have the title, and then they're already turning Mox heel. You could have a blood feud for the title at Double or Nothing.
How's I'm cool that with that.
Just saying, that way it's something to lead, and you have a story already. Again, I'm just trying to get eyes on the product because the story, like, I'm thinking about MJF, who's he going to go against?
That's the first thing I said when that tap out happened and that bell rang. My first thought was, who's
to
next?
The bell lock? Daniel Bryan's gonna tap out to the bell lock. Sudden death.
I'm gonna keep it real. Did not like that.
That took away from the match a little bit too, if you ask me.
I didn't.
You should have just ended it in a draw. Then they got more heat on Max. If you put it in sudden death and then he taps out, he just beat America Dragon. Arguably the greatest in-ring wrestler of all time, at least of our era. He taps out to his own finishing moves. Makes no sense.
I can't abide by that. I just cannot.
Why not let him hit him with the ring? Had him have the ring on his hand for like a whole minute.
To me, there's nothing that diminishes a wrestler more than a tap out. So what I'm trying to say is that the tap out has a lot of value. It's you're acknowledging that you have given up. So there's a lot of value in that. That's why that value. Remember when Brock was tapping out to Undertaker tapping out to Brock, but they didn't see it. Remember when the ref didn't see it?
Right. At Hell in a Cell, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So there was like a little thing where it's, oh my goodness, just the thought that Undertaker might have quit, like broke the internet.
Undertaker used a low blow in that match.
Yeah. Listen, so like when I see a Daniel Bryan tap out, I'm like, yo.
He tap out?
I go, no. Wow,
okay. All right. That'd be like me sitting down watching Bret Hart tap out to the Sharpshooter. Ain't no way in hell.
He would die before he did that. He would die.
He would die. Hey, hey, hey. He'd be fighting Vince McMahon's ass again. Right then and there, right on sight. He gonna hock another loogie.
But that's a bitter. That's a. I ain't never seen a more bitter Canadian in my life, man. But
I love him. No, I love him. Hey,
he bitter though, he was, David.
Him, I would say him and Macho Man, they got my heart forever. Those are my two.
Macho Man's my top five. I dude.
Dead or alive, I don't care. You can't tell me. Ooh, let me tell you something. Woo! I'm trying to tell you, man.
Love
I
Macho
should have brought
man.
Out the glasses, man. I got them in a whip. I should go.
Yo, this show's going off the rails. Hold on, okay, one more thing before you go. For real. Well, okay, so Mania's coming up and I was trying to frame it a different way as far as the card goes. The card's still shaping up, so I ain't trying to judge the card because that's ridiculous. But what match are you most looking forward to on the card besides Cody versus Raw Raw?
I think Cody's going to be Raw Raw. Mm-hmm. And that's coming from me. It has to happen, number
one. It has to happen.
Bianca Asuka. That's because I love Bianca like I love both Bianca and Asuka. Those two, Charlotte Flair, are my three favorite wrestlers when it comes to when females.
Would you be mad if
Well, just in general, three of my top 10 favorite wrestlers.
Would you be mad if Asuka won that match?
She needs to. Like, so we got Jane Cena going on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Bianca done turned into. So how many times can she beat everybody at WrestleMania? And so it was a problem with Charlotte. So I love Bianca, and I'd be happy if she won, but this isn't about me. This is about her and her art. And Asuka needs it. She's supposed to be this baddest hellraiser female wrestler on the planet. Can't nobody's ready for her, right? So she needs to go through her, man. And plus she's like Asuka, kind of Asuka. She was tearing dudes up in Japan. So why couldn't she beat her out, man? It's that video of, who was it, Minoru Suzuki, what he did to her. That's crazy, right? So she needs that, man. Asuka, I think, to your question, my match I'm looking forward to most outside of that is Asuka Bianca, because Asuka desperately needs this, and this has changed the scope of the division. If Bianca beats her, then you got only person she hasn't faced is Charlotte Flair, really, and Ronda Rousey. Who cares about Ronda Rousey these days? I don't. Nobody does. That's why she's a tag team wrestler.
Well, what happened with Ronda is when the perception got out, and it's probably true, when the perception got out that Ronda don't care, then we don't care.
If you don't care,
if the word gets out that you don't care about the product,
I'm glad they didn't do their tag team match with her and Shayna Baszler, because that would have pissed me off, because then we wouldn't have got Trish Stratus, one of my all-time favorites, at WrestleMania. I don't know. I'm glad they went down that road, because I'm tired of Ronda Rousey. They shouldn't have brought her back.
If she don't want to come back.
She don't want to be there. She don't know how to take a DDT. And then she takes a DDT. It looks like she breaks her neck. She better be careful, man. It makes no sense. And if it would have been Brock Lesnar versus Gunther, that would have been the best match on the card. I'd have looked forward to that more than
it would have stole the show. It would have stole the show.
Because you're going to get Gunther versus Drew, and that match is going to slap, but Drew McIntyre is probably going to lose. If I could look into the future, man, you're going to better send me this message on Twitter. If I could look into the future, I think Sheamus is going to cost Drew McIntyre mainly.
Oh, that's and a good one. That's interesting.
Because he called him a bastard. He turned his back on him. Some shenanigans.
Yeah. And it's funny. Yeah, you're messing with my one idea, but your idea makes more sense than mine. My idea was Gunther loses the Intercontinental title to somebody, wins that Money in the Bank in England, goes against Cody somewhere down the line. You're messing with that, but yours makes more sense because Drew and Gunther don't make sense.
Can I add to your idea?
Please.
What if he loses on the SmackDown after Mania?
Yeah, there it is. Because I don't see
any other wrestler besides Seth winning the Money in the Bank. No way. It just don't make sense.
It depends on how long you're going to put the title on Cody.
That could put like this. Because let's say he wins it. That's almost a year in Mania. What's it? July in England. So
I think he wins the Rumble.
Who? Gunther?
Yeah. Because
I can see that. Listen, I can put it like this. Gunther in the title picture at the next WrestleMania, no matter what.
It all depends on if top five is healthy or not. Because if top five is healthy, he might win Money in the Bank, and that could be Dave.
For those who don't know what David's talking about, top five is old Randy Orton. So that right there, whatever you said right there, now I don't care about nothing but that. I'm sorry, Gunther. I don't give a damn.
It's either going to be Gunther and Money in the Bank and Randy at the Rumble. Ooh. One of the two, because you got to tell that story. Or I know I'm thinking booking
Randy
the
Cody? Randy and Cody?
That'd be WrestleMania 40, Randy and Cody.
Oh, my, bruh. I'm done. We're done with this. I'm done. Huh? This is why I don't like fantasy booking. This is exactly why I don't like fantasy booking. Because our ideas, if they don't come to fruition, I get very upset. I get very hurt.
But I'm telling some logical booking, and the WWE's listening to this podcast. Hopefully they are.
Book it.
Oh, book it. I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, and then one more fantasy real quick, because for real, what you could do is this is in a bizarre world. I'm telling you, fantasy of fantasies, right? I've talked about this with my brother Michael. I talked about him with you before. What I would do is, if you ever want to put the title on Charlotte, yeah, check this out. This is what you can do. You can have Randy come back, Randy go over Cody at the Rumble. Charlotte appears in the Men's Rumble, wins the Rumble, and then you have Rhodes versus Flair at WrestleMania 40 for the title.
Oh, you lost your damn mind. I love it, though. I love it.
But it'll never happen. I said a bizarro, but that's so, imagine if that happened, because
this podcast is turning into conspiracy podcast. This man is on part of you, a Fox Motor in the X-Files.
Man.
But the thing about Fox Motor, he was right though.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Man, I had an amazing time, big dog.
Perry, brother. Listen, on first episode, this is the first rendition of Memoirs of a Mark. Man, this was my favorite version of Memoirs of a Mark. You got to come back, brother, when we get after post-Mesomania. I need you to pull up.
I'm pull up, bro. Middle of April, I'm going to Raw. I'm going to let you, I'm going to give you a little bit of notes. Something like that. If you hit them with the dusty roads, if you will, when I pull up to Monday Night Raw. All right, I'll let you know what's up on Monday Night Raw in a couple weeks. All right, I'm taking my son. Shout out David. Shout out Jackson.
Yeah.
Shout out Spencer. Love my kids. Shout out Megan. That's my fiance.
Put him over, brother.
Shout
out Pino Mac,
your wife. Shout her out one time.
Put yourself over, brother. How can people find you, brother?
Man, I'm on Twitter. I forget my handle off the top of my head. David.
Oh, come on, man.
Off the top of my head, man, look me up.
I'll put it in the description.
I think it's David Perry Jr. 4 with the L logo. And you know what I'm saying? Banker, I'm a podcast. I thought about pulling up in a suit, be extra debonair, extra suave, but I had to give shout out to Spice Girls from when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? Give a little bit of love. I should have pulled up in a row with knowledge and shirt. That's what I do.
Yo, for y'all listening to the podcast.
Actually, I'm going to pull up in a Cody Rhodes shirt next time.
Yeah, let's
next
do it.
Time. Shout out. And shout out to Gold Brian.
For real. For all y'all listening and not watching, because I didn't post it yet. He's wearing a Spice Girl shirt, and it's fire. It's off one of the covers, the debut cover of the album, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir. And I got the shoes to match, but I ain't about to pull them on. Hold on, actually I am. Hold up.
I was a posh spice guy myself. Much love and respect for David Perry for pulling up on the first rendition of Memoirs of a Mark. He was cutting all kinds of promos and whatnot. So any money you marks that want to come up and speak your mind and give me some of y'all memoirs, y'all memories, y'all thoughts.
He's telling the truth.
Pull up on Memoirs of a Mark, and you are more than welcome to pull up. With that being said, you don't want to pull up Kid Rock. We can keep with the theme of the show. You can get the hell on. The hell wrong with you? But listen, before we get to my portion, my second portion of the show, because we doing Oscar previews for the second portion of the show. Y'all can get rocks.
Yes.
Oscar season is upon
us. It is
us.
Upon us.
Movies are going down. Y'all can kick rocks. I had at least the courtesy, the decency, the love I have for you marks out there, you Marky Marks and the funky bunches out there, to put it at the back half of the show. I got y'all wrestling bullshit out the way, but it's almost time for movies.
Yes, we love movies in the Mac household.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. And I'm going to give my predictions on who I think going to win. Who I think. You know I get ghetto when I get passionate, but when I bring it down, I'm like, all right, guys, let's talk about some things. So before we do this, social clip, I'm putting the vote up, and we're going to settle this. And you haters, think it through. Think this through, you haters.
Yes.
There's a debate that's going on right now. And maybe I'm being hyperbolic. Maybe it's because he was on the show and put the show over. Maybe it's because I lack objectivity when it comes to the people I like or the people that pull up. After you pull up on my show, I can't talk shit about you. That's my new rule. I just made it up right now. After you come on Evan Mack's show, I can no longer talk bad about you. So anybody, so if you don't, you can kick rock. I talk all kinds of shit if you don't come on my show. If you don't come on the show, I say all kinds of shit I want to say. See, that's a threat. That's a threat. That's a threat.
It was threatening.
And, it's a promise. There's a hotly contested debate that came up organically. And we're going to settle it right here. And I know what you sucker MCs are going to say. But stay with me here. Stay with me here. We about to debate the greatest wrestling pose of all time. Now, damn it. Y'all know the poses. Anytime I say that, y'all thinking about a pose in your head. And that's fine. But this is only going to be two things. I might put two more. I might put four up there. But this is between and her.
Yeah, yeah. We had an issue the other day.
The greatest pose I say of all time, damn it. Is absolute Ricky Starks, baby.
No. We all know. It's that Viper. It's that RKO out of nowhere. Come on.
It don't even look good when she do it.
She
looks kind of like it right there.
That's better. No, because now, he goes on every post.
Why don't you tell all these haters why? No, he goes like one pillar and he goes the other pillar.
He had two, three.
One to the corner.
It depends on how much time he has.
He goes to the hard cam.
Depends on how much time he has.
He only does it for the hard cam, brother.
I've seen him do it on all four.
Everybody can't get there live like you.
Yeah. It was like live. You know, I'm not talking about.
But explain why it's better than the Ricky Starks, because you're being hyper. This ain't hyperbole. That Ricky Starks.
It's not hyperbole.
Tell me why Randy Orton's pose is the best pose to you in the history of wrestling, because I already know where I'm at.
Because it just looks epic as fuck. It's epic. I don't know other words. It's epic. He takes his time. He gets up there slowly. That post.
He takes his time.
He looks at the crowd, and he just does it. It is.
Does he have a better song? Yes, he does. That's a banger. But damn it, no.
Yes.
Do you see the arm? It's the head work. It's the arm work.
No.
Which, so you tell
he only does it like one time right at the top of the
and
thing.
Then when he's in the ring, if he hits a move, he hits you with the double.
So does Randy. So does Orton. He does that
I'm
too.
Sick and tired of everyone thinking this dude got the best pose in the history of wrestling. The best pose. Hey, listen, is Randy Orton top five? I call him top five. Hell, I don't even call him Randy Orton. I barely know who I'm talking about when I say Randy Orton. I only recognize Randy Orton by saying top five. So if you're talking about Randy Orton around me, just say top five. Because if you say Randy Orton, I might not know who you're talking about.
Oh, the Mighty Mississippi is. I mean,
yeah, call him the Mighty Mississippi because he's constant and steady. Or you call him top five. Either that, I don't know who you're talking about.
But I mean, I'm like, if he got a belt, you know, on the waist, and it, like, I want to see this rather than this with the whatever.
I don't know what the hell you just did.
I'm sorry, you can't. I'm messing it up.
Ricky,
whatever.
I apologize.
I want to see the epic
what
hands
the
in the air.
How I know he got the best pose ever? Because you don't even know how to throw the pose.
But see, like, people can do it better because they get, like, you can see people anywhere doing this, and you know it's like, oh, RKO. It's Randy Orton, Viper, top five.
So because of notoriety, because of longevity, because my man Ricky Starks ain't been on TV that long, you going to sit here and just disrespect that absolute Ricky Starks?
I like the pose. I'm just not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's not better than
poll to you haters when I put this poll up
I
on
like
the Twitter sphere.
I do like it.
I'm not
saying I don't like it.
We going to put the poll up. We going to do Orton pose. We going to do Ricky pose. We going to do, I'll put Austin in there. Austin has a nice pose. Or we could probably do good old fashioned. The Hogan ear is a pretty good pose, though.
Oh, the
Hogan,
ear
yeah,
thing?
The Hogan ear. That's kind of posing.
He does do the hand wind up.
I'll put that in there too, just for difference, different eras, different times, different wrestlers. I even put Hogan up in there. Y'all know I ain't over that shit, but I still put him in that damn pole. Mm-hmm. What do you haters think? I'll let y'all know.
Mm-hmm.
We already know what the real answer is.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Let's move on before it gets contentious.
Already got contentious up in here. And we all know Evan Mack gets contentious when he don't agree with somebody.
If you know, you know.
Everybody know it. When Evan Mack don't agree, he's being contentious.
Hashtag contentious.
Lord have mercy. Everybody know when Evan Mack say something they don't agree with, he's being contentious. He just can't be a brother that disagrees. But
yeah.
That's a little inside for y'all out
but
there.
But we digress.
Uh-huh.
let's go to these Oscar predictions. You know,
Oscar Evan Mack, predictions out there, you haters.
Over the years, I will say, Evan Mack has been right more than he's been wrong.
Never wrong about Best Actor.
I
might have jinxed it this year.
I know.
Because it's the toughest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I haven't been wrong with Best Actor in about 7 to 8 or maybe 9
I was
saying,
we have been married almost 10 years coming up.
Nine for nine, brother.
He has been like,
when it comes to Best Actor.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he got that, what is it, that third eye?
I got it, man. But this year is very weird.
Yeah, no. There's
so I might hedge my bets on a few. I'll tell you what I want, and then I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm hedging.
Yeah.
But we're going to run through just the biggest. We ain't going to be doing like best left leg in a movie. We ain't going to be doing like best foreign
best score,
animated
best
feature with a light-skinned brother. Yeah. We ain't going to be doing most, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of.
We take it to the big ones. Actor, actress, you know what I mean? Movie, writing, you know what I mean?
And Oscars. You know, it'd be easy for you to, you know, because we're in this world of trying to be politically correct. You know, technically, it does not matter what sex you are. You're supposed to be just
female,
an actor.
Best female actor.
Yeah.
Best male actor.
Yeah, just, you know.
These women are actors.
Everybody's actor.
They're not. Waiter and waitress, we gotta stop that foolishness, too. Server.
Yes.
The smart places do server.
Exactly.
I just want to put that out there.
No, and they don't do stewardess anymore.
They do
it's
not.
Flight attendant. So.
Gender fluid.
Yep.
Be fluid with the gender.
You can change it all around, okay? It's not hard to do. So this right now is the performance of an actor in a leading role.
We starting off hot.
Yeah. Oh, see, I want to say male, but no, there's his actor. I keep forgetting.
Actor.
Yeah. So we have Austin Butler in Elvis.
Mm.
We have Colin Farrell in The Banshees of Inisherin. Brendan Fraser in The Whale. Paul Mescal in After Sun. And Bill Nye in Living.
Now, let me tell you something right there. Let me talk to you. This is a two-horse race. This is a race between young Austin Butler and the great Brendan Fraser. That's what this is a two-horse race. And the two-horse race, I put down on a piece of paper the second I saw the trailer, which was more than a year ago, that Austin Butler wins for Elvis. That's what I said.
Uh-huh. We have it on our fridge, I think.
It is on the fridge. It's on the fridge. It's a more than a year old. I put that on there. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the movie. I've seen the trailer. And I go, performance of a lifetime. This kid wins it. Brendan Fraser comes out with The Whale. The Whale is a performance of his lifetime. When you have two actors that give two performances of their lifetime, one late, one early, it's very, very hard to predict. But I cannot flip-flop. Even for being right. Like, I love being right about these. My streak's going to end. I'm like Undertaker right here. I'm Undertaker with Oscar Peck when it comes to that stuff. The streak must end. But I am going with the shocker and sticking with Austin Butler. Because, guys, if you have not seen Elvis, it is, without a doubt, to me, the greatest musical performance, like biopic actor I've ever seen.
He sang all those songs.
Ever.
Sounded just like him.
He is Elvis. So,
Yeah.
As much as I think Brendan Fraser might win, I'm going with sticking with my pick, the young Austin Butler, for the dub.
Ooh, for the dub. For the dub. Now we can, you know, move on to the supporting role, the actor in the supporting role. So a lot of the same movies, but here we go. We got Brandon Gleeson in the Banshees of Inisherin.
Mm.
Brian Tyree Henry in Causeway. Judd Hirsch in The Fablemans. Barry Keoghan in The Banshees of Inisherin. I'm gonna
Ki-Way Kwan.
Yeah, Ki-Way Kwan in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, this one's interesting. You typically, and by the way, The Banshees of Inisherin is one of those films. This is just a beautifully done film by one of my favorite directors, Martin McDonagh. No one shoots Ireland like he does. No one. So typically when two great actors give two great performances and they're in the same category, they typically cancel each other out.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows me, well, maybe they don't know, but Heidi knows how much I love Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, yeah. No, we do.
I think Brendan Gleeson's better than about...
If you've never seen The Guard, go watch it.
I think Brendan Gleeson's better than 95% of all living actors. And it. So.
Yeah, what was the other movie that they did together?
In Bruges.
In Bruges. If you've not seen that, see In Bruges.
Fish Grease.
Two movies.
So, watch them. Martin McDonagh did In Bruges. He didn't do The Guard, which it feels like he did, but he did.
It almost is. It almost does.
Somebody different.
That's interesting.
With that being said, I do believe Short Round takes it home. Ki-Way Kwan, his run does not stop. Ki-Way Kwan walks away with the Oscar, daddy!
He was fantastic.
Oh, he's sensational.
Oh, he was sensational. So,
Ki-Way Kwan's run continues.
Oh.
I know, phenomenal.
It's spectacular, spectacular. We have the movie poster on our wall.
Yes, we do.
I'm like, along with, you know, Big Trouble in Little China,
If you make Evan Mack's wall with cinema, you have arrived. I don't care what anybody say, because I'm not picky, but when I say a movie is phenomenal, just watch it.
Yeah.
When Evan Mack says a movie's good, pull up. Now, how about that? Damn it. How about that Rotten Tomatoes? All these sucker MCs you got doing reviews. You better pull up. And I submitted my Rotten Tomatoes critic thing. Let them reject the brother, see what I do.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
I'll just apply next year. But here we go.
Just apply again. And try again.
Thanks.
At first you don't succeed.
Indeed. Shout out to Aaliyah.
So we've got now performance by an actress in a leading role. Okay. So we have Kate Blanchett in Tar, Ana de Armas in Blonde, Andrea Riseborough in To Leslie, Michelle Williams in The Fablemans, and Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's tough.
I told you, this is the toughest year I probably have ever seen.
Yo,
let me tell you something.
You haven't seen Tar yet,
but let
too.
Me tell you out here, you sucker MCs. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The Oscars, and I'm for better or for worse, they have a tendency to fall in love with certain things. And when they fall in love with certain things, those are the things that clean up.
Yeah.
Now, you guys heard it here first, and you're going to know I did this the week of the Oscars, so you know I put my business in the streets before it's too late.
He does.
So hindsight's not 20/20 with me. So whether I'm right or I'm wrong, you're going to hear it, so you know that I can't backtrack. So let me tell you something. You heard it here first. The new darling of this year is Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's the new darling. It is going to win probably the most Oscars. Mark my words. So don't be surprised when you keep hearing it. There's only one movie we'll get to it. There's only one movie that will beat it for Picture of the Year, and it probably won't. So I'm going to let you know. Who should win this Academy Award? And I am telling you, I've seen both of these movies, and it ain't even close. Cate Blanchett in Tar. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I cannot emphasize enough how I think she's the greatest female actor to ever live.
It's incredible.
She is unparalleled in this film. It from top to bottom, start to finish, the entire movie is sensational. Michelle Yeoh will probably win this Oscar. Probably win this Oscar. Not because she wasn't as good, it's because when they get an idea in their head, the Oscars run with it. Because let me tell you why. How you know, Evan? Let me give y'all a stat. I think the last the last brown skin best female, put it like this. No female Asian has ever even been nominated for best Oscar for a female.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
let me tell you, that, isn't that crazy? But
it's crazy.
It's true. And I'm telling you, I've seen that.
Because how long has Michelle Yeoh been around? Okay, let's. Okay.
So, in their defense, she's never done a movie to get there. The closest movie she did was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, mm-hmm. And it won Best Oscar for Best Foreign Film.
Yeah,
but not to get sidetracked. Michelle Yeoh, I've been watching Michelle Yeoh before it was fashionable. I was watching when she was in this the Heroes 3 or the Trios 3 is an old movie back in the early late 80s, early 90s. I'm a martial arts guy. I've been watching her for a long, long, long time. So this ain't no surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's fish grease. But fish what I'm grease. Trying to say is the best performance of the year by a female in an actor role is Tar. It's Cate Blanchett.
It's so good.
So with that being said, I'm sticking with Cate Blanchett. I don't give a damn what
they
said. Cate Blanchett winning this. You thought I was gonna do it. I'm sticking with Cate Blanchett.
Ooh.
But remember I told you I'm gonna do think and what I think will win and who I want to win.
Yeah.
I believe
because those can be different.
I got Boo Thang from Down Under. How about that, Dylan?
Shout out to Dylan Matthews.
For real.
The gift came. All right, well then let's move on to the actress in the supporting role then.
Oh boy.
I know. So we have Angela Bassett in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Hong Chau in The Whale, Carrie Condon in The Banshees of Inisherin.
Phenomenal.
Jamie Lee Curtis in Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Stephanie Sue in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And you know what I just said a couple minutes ago, right, about two actors being in the same movie canceling each other out. That's typically what happens, but not always what's happened. For example, Dallas Buyers Club, Leto and Matthew McConaughey won that same year, and they're actor and supporting. So I
didn't win Best Picture.
No,
see they.
But I'm talking about when the actors are in the same. Yeah. But like,
oh yeah, you
best. They were best actor and best supporting. That doesn't happen. No. Typically doesn't happen. So with that being said, I said it typically does. Stephanie Sue and Everything Everywhere All at Once is phenomenal. Jamie Lee Curtis might. To me, there's a better performance, perhaps. Hong Chau and The Whale, I'm sure, is phenomenal. We're going to watch The Whale this week. And I would. But doesn't that change your mind? No. I read a lot. I watch a lot. So
yeah, no, he always researches.
Hong Chau probably makes a strong case. And Angela Bassett has been cleaning up. And damn it, she's been cleaning up too much for me.
Let me say, like, when we didn't even watch Elvis yet, and Evan had said that about...
Before the Oscars were even had a ballot.
Yeah, yeah, and we didn't. Elvis wasn't even out.
If I pull up this piece of paper,
he was like, "He's gonna win." He saw the trailer. He was like, he's
winning. I said, "This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen."
Yeah, he was like,
"That was 100 years ago."
Yeah, I said, "The Elvis wasn't even out. You couldn't even watch it yet."
Anyway, so listen, so
yeah,
but this one's gonna be tough. Angela Bassett is probably going to win. Probably gonna win. I'm telling you, Carrie Condon's performance in Banshees of Inisherin is beautiful. It is.
They're all. I mean, yeah, they're all fantastic.
But let me do something crazy. Let me get crazy on the Oscar first annual Oscar predictions on the Kick Rock podcast.
He's never put this out in the world before.
Jamie Lee Curtis for no logic at all, except for damn it, I want to see a win.
Really?
First time I'm going without a prediction. I'm going with something I want. I'm going
interesting.
Hard. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Does she have one?
No,
I didn't think so.
Hell no.
Dang. I feel like there's so many things
I'm
that
so
she should've...
wrong about that guy. So when you hear Angela Bassett's name called, but just remember you heard here first. But I'm going Jamie Lee Curtis.
See?
I'm going Boom Dang Curtis.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to move on now to directing, achievement in directing.
Mm.
So, you know, many great directors out there. The Banshees of Inisherin.
Martin McDonagh.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Daniel Kwan and Daniel
Schneider.
The Fablemans, Steven Spielberg.
Who's Steven Spielberg?
I know.
Who are you talking about right now?
I have to get down through the list first. Let me get through the list.
I just want to know who Steven Spielberg is.
Let me get through the list.
You mean go? I don't know who Steven Spielberg is. You must be talking about somebody else. Because when you say that boy's name, when you start saying go, like when you start saying the S, your mouth would turn into a G.
Tar, Todd Field.
Unreal.
And Triangle of Sadness, Ruben Östlund.
To me, some of the best directing I've ever seen was in Tar. The angles he used, the way he captured the orchestra, the way he captured he's doing some great stuff with like tight medium, like medium close-ups, tight shots. He's doing beautiful work as a director. I don't want to get too nerdy, but he's doing
beautiful work, guys. And so Tar, to me, directing wise, is who I would go with. Martin McDonagh, like I said, no one shoots Ireland as beautiful as he does, and he shoots Ireland beautiful. Who's winning this though? And it ain't even close. Is Everything Everywhere All at Once with Daniel Kwan and Daniel Schneider, because what they did and what they pulled off has never been done before. Hell, the Multiverse of Madness couldn't even touch this. Any multiverse movie can never I'm talking about directing.
So true.
No one has captured a multiverse. No one's ever captured the difficulty of shooting this movie. And you know what I always say, Heidi? What do I say? When Steven Spielberg pull up, what do you do?
Oh, I know. Everybody else go home. So,
but I do think he loses. I think the greatest director to ever live is Steven Spielberg.
Yes, yeah.
And he's going to come up short.
Ooh,
and he's going to come up short to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Mark my words. Bucket, daddy!
Oh, my God. But, yes, no.
And we're going to run these back. We're going to run back down my rights and my wrongs on next show.
Oh, yes, yes. Very true. Very
I might be looking real stupid or real good.
And then, of course, you know, pretty much everyone's casual fan favorite is the Best Motion Picture of the Year.
Okay.
There's a lot, guys. All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun, Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking.
Yeah, it's interesting. Who's should win.
Yeah.
This is tough, man. I got once again, Everything Everywhere All at Once wins Best Picture of the Year.
Yeah, probably. But I mean,
you are but if they fall, they're falling to one man and one man only. GOAT, aka Steven Spielberg. So yeah. If they fall, guys, they fall to Steven Spielberg, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't think Steven Spielberg, even with his passion project, even with his damn near biopic, is going to beat out this film. I just think it's the one. I could be wrong, guys. You know me. I'm Team Spielberg. Yeah. And you see where I'm at with Tar and Top Gun Maverick. Just on principle alone should win to shock the world.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
An action movie winning Best Picture of the Year with that cinematography. The way they shot the planes, no one's ever done it before. They had to create brand new technology just to shoot the movie the way they did. But that's why I might win cinematography.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, but we ain't getting into too more far in the weeds. I want to stick to the big dog, daddy.
Do they have a category? Because I forget because Oscars is different and all of them are different. But do they have one for stunt?
They should. But they've been clamoring for that for years.
Oh,
but they do not. Because you already know we'd have 10.
Yeah, you the already other know. Goat. Yeah.
But listen, Everything Everywhere All at Once wins the Best Picture, defeating the great Spielberg. Or you can flip it, which I'm not going to do, as Spielberg wins Best Directing, and then instead of them winning both, they split it.
Yeah,
I'm going clean sweep. I'm going clean sweep. Could be wrong. Could be wrong.
Could be.
But yeah, that's it, man. That wraps up the first annual Kick Rocks Oscar prediction special
edition. And if you don't care about the Oscars, you can kick rocks.
Yeah, I put it at the back end for you haters. You cut it off right after the argument where Heidi was wrong about Randy Orton.
Yeah. Okay.
This show is over, man. This show is over.
Thanks, everyone.
Appreciate y'all. Love, peace, chicken grease, a hot comb, and some grits.
Come back next week.
they'll be back. I got some spicy plan. If you're still listening right now, I'm going to do one stuff that stupid people do. If you're listening to the back end of this right now, give me a black fist emoji. That's the Easter egg. Put a black fist emoji on my Twitter, and that's how I know you listen to the whole podcast.
We are on our road. This is the Max Road to WrestleMania as well.
We are on the road, Jack. And barring death, they gonna see my black ass. Oh, what y'all thought? Y'all weren't gonna see me. I'm the Osiris of this shit. Oh, this is Wu-Tangers. Oh, wait a minute. I bomb atomically. Socrates, philosophies, and high five. Oh, I'm gonna get on this triumph, boy.
We will be pressed.
Lyrically performed on robbery. Oh, snap. Y'all know y'all don't wanna see this. I'm about to say something. Ooh, I almost got too black. This show's over, y'all.
Thanks, y'all. Oh, O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.